listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 3rd, if you can believe it. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here as always. And because I got to say this off the top, it first Saturday in May is our graduation. So
absolutely.
I'm even happier to be here to be able to say that to everybody. Graduation week of the year.
Yep, it's coming right up, and I still can't believe that we're already into May. It's unbelievable.
It's true.
It's unreal. But
yep.
Thank you for everyone joining us live. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us in the chat, in the live chat, and we appreciate your contributions. And thanks to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, yeah, that's coming back to your announcement there. We are coming right up to our graduation. We have it annually in May, and it's going to be this Saturday on May 6th. And, looking forward to it. I'm just...
I think it's 5 o'clock your time, 2
yep.
o'clock my time.
I was just checking my notes on that confirmation, but you're absolutely right. So please join us. If you are graduating this year, we're looking forward to seeing you there. Even if you're not, we always love to see you, and everybody appreciates your show of support. And on to our topic tonight, it is going to be numbers, patterns in life, and we're going to take a look at it from a lot of different aspects. So, Dr. Vicki, I'm going to throw to you to kind of get us started.
Yeah, Michael and I were talking before the program about, you know, looking at the microscopic and then the macroscopic. And the microscopic, just think of patterns in your life basically by behavior. Cycles and behaviors that we all have, Michael, like why does this keep happening? You know, because there's like that little thread in us. It's got this tripping over stuff, you know, and so we create patterns. Strangely enough, it will happen often numerically. Like you wonder why, how come every September things seem to fall apart in my relationship? You know, and again, it's how that pattern is set up, the ebbs and tides and the honeymoon crisis kind of thing. And so we can look at, you know, those things from a very individual relationship kind of basis. And then we can, of course, go into numerology and like the cycles of life. H. Spencer Lewis would talk about the patterns of sevens. And in numerology, it's the patterns of nines. And how. But there's also math in nature. Everything is mathematics. Everything, talk about the Fibonacci sequence. We can, you know, there's so many ways that we can discuss this. But to make it really simple for our conversation tonight, it's for us to each look at what kinds of patterns and numerical influences there are. And I always take like the birth path number, for instance. If you have your month, your day, and year of birth, that'll give, and reduce it to a single digit, and that'll give you a number. And then if you take the month and day of the year, day of your birth, and then the year we're in, that will tell you the cycle that you're in. So, for instance, I'm a birth path of 7, and if I do 10, 25, 20, 23, I'm in a 6 year. So I know that next year I'm going to have a 7 year, and that's going to synchronize with my birth path number, which means to say to me that I very often, and this happens every 9 years, those sevens kind of apex, it's they connect. And so my relationship with the outside world is going to change, something in my outside life. And, you know, for some people, Michael, it could be as simple as looking at people differently, your friendships changing. For some people, it could be moving, a job change. It could be more impactful. But it definitely is that how you walk in the world and how you see yourself in the world. When the name number lines up with the year, it's internal changes. And when your destiny number, because you had the name number, birth path, to get a destiny number, it's that spiritual essence. If that lines up with the year, it's kind of a spiritual restlessness. You know, what is my purpose? And so on. And so I can look at patterns. I'm a bit of a pattern freak. I don't know why, I always have been since I was a young girl. I look at behaviors as patterns. I look at energy as patterns. And then I look at, again, that globally. And when I began looking at numbers, not being a numerologist, but when I started seeing numbers having patterns, then I started to say there's something cyclic about this. And I think all of life is cyclic. So whether it's a microscopic thing, or we set up our own pattern, maybe it's based on conditioning, cause and effect, or there's patterns that numerically come around. And, you know, they say history repeats itself. How often do we have a war? How often do we have another shift in consciousness? You know, and there's always a pattern, whether we can, you know, really spot it or not, but there's always a pattern in play. There. So, go ahead. I just might add that Laura's already talking in the chat about her life path is an 11. I reduce it to single digits, Laura. I don't go with a Cavalarian thing. I make life simple for myself. I reduce that to a 2. So, if you're a life path of 2, and she says her personal year is an 8, then, you know, and she's saying, last year was huge for my 7th personal year spiritually. 7 is an interesting number in that it demands attention to detail. It's not just a spiritual number. We live sevens. There are 7 days in a year. There are 7 52-day cycles in a year. 7 in a week, 7 52 cycles in a year, and it corrects itself at the leap year. And we live 7. 7 wants us to recognize what we're living. So people always say, oh, it's that mystical spiritual number. There's nothing mystical and spiritual about it. It's demanding us to look at detail.
I think that's a really good way to say it.
And so if you're feeling like things aren't, if you're in a 7 year, and I am a birth path of 7, so trust me, detail is a freaky thing with me. I have to, and that again can go against me, Michael, because being somebody who's obsessed with how things work, I can also miss the boat because I'm spending too much time on the detail.
Trees kind of thing.
Yeah, but if you're in a 7 year and things aren't moving forward for you in the way, it's because 7 is saying there's something you're missing. Something here that you need to look at. So I know Dr. Zach is saying in astrology we rotate through 12 houses, and I can appreciate that, but there's 13 moons in a year. So, you know, how do we correlate that? So the numbers of 12, 13, they're all relative, depending on the pattern you're looking at.
Absolutely.
So,
you know,
and this is a pattern thing.
I appreciate the contributions too. Wendy's pointing out that she seems to have major life changes every 9 years. Seven is kind of what that is for me. Roughly every 7 years, there seems to be, you know, pretty decent change in things. And I don't know if that's because I'm looking for a pattern and assigning one, or if it's present. I'm always trying to be mindful of that. And to anybody that can hear my German Shepherd Husky mix, Mira here, talking to me a little bit. She will pipe up when she really agrees with me or Dr. Vicky. But I do find that interesting, these patterns of life. And I do try to remember that at times we will create patterns because of what we're looking for. RB, you had said it yourself earlier that we do tend to create patterns in a very real way of our behaviors. We kind of continue the patterns of those that came before us and those that kind of taught us, raised us, the generations past.
Yeah.
But I think that we also might erroneously see a pattern because we want one to be there or we're looking for one.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that kind of little trick with awareness. You know, when you're paying attention to something, you tend to see it more and more. Like, for example, if you... I've noticed this little phenomena when I, you know, hear a new word that I haven't really heard before or used before, I'll start hearing it pop up more and more. You know, somebody in your orbit, you know, gets a certain car, or you're talking about a certain type of car, you happen to start seeing that car everywhere. You know, these different things will pop up, and it's, you know, it is, I think, also important to realize that I don't think patterns are set in stone, you know, and perfect dovetail. Wendy says, you know, she hopes that's not the case. She's over all these major changes. I think that we can, you know, alter the patterns, and it kind of makes me think of the old saying, when you're sailing, you can't control the wind, but you can, you know, control the tilt of the sail. I think that we as conscious beings, aware beings, we can, you know, change those things about ourselves. If we actively try, we might be able to shift the patterns. We might be able to, you know, kind of change the paradigm a bit. And thinking about, you know, if are we destined to have major changes on these, you know, different kind of numeric periods of our life, these cycles, these patterns, are we destined to have these major changes just because that's our number, that's our cycle? And again, how would you define a major change? You know, I think a major change can be a wonderful thing too. You know, somebody meaningful coming into your life that will be with you forever after, and different things like that. So it's also a way of phrasing or framing is a better way of putting that, the situation.
You know, Dr. Zach says in the chat, humans like control. That's true.
Yeah.
And he adds, and if we can see a pattern, it becomes predictable, and thus we have a faint sense of control.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for that, Zach, because control, you know, in the world that we live in, we like to feel like we have a sense of power. And that we're in control of our lives, which nothing could be further from the truth. But that is part of how we've evolved kind of in this psychodynamic, if you will, of sociology and, you know, whether it's about money, position, you know, pick one. So we do. We like to have power. And, you know, you watch people in a divorce and it starts out but always ends in somebody wanting power, control, and it's about the money. And so if there's trouble, well, it's because it's reduced to who's trying to have power. And so we tend to do that. When we're looking at patterns and we think something is predictable, it's really by our view of that. Because I can look at somebody's life, I can see a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the same pattern. and yet I'm just the observer. And when you're subjective versus objective, you know, that it tends to change things a little.
Yeah,
but that
I mean,
sense of control is absolutely applicable.
Oh, of course. And I think when it comes to that, being the observer, you can see patterns that the subject might not see. It's a matter of perspective. And we, you know, I made the comment earlier, someone who can't see the forest for the trees, when you're in the forest, you can't see the totality of it. It might be a little bit harder. I'll also point out that different observers might see different patterns based on their own background, insight, ability to have accurate insight. And, you know, whatever they, we all have a little bit of an inherent bias where we want to see something often, and we can control for it, but it, you see, you know, ekes in certain ways. But I think that's where it comes back to the judgment of a person.
You know, Tabitha wrote something really interesting, and thanks for this, Tabitha. Seeing patterns in things like words or cars is called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon in psychology. And Bader is Bader-Meinhof, Meinhof, if anybody wants to look that up. That's, you know, that's...
Very well. Absolutely. Good call out. And I'd read that a little bit earlier, and I'm glad you brought it up. I'd wanted to come back to it. And it's just fascinating. It's fascinating how, you know, how it is, it's interesting to think about our awareness, our memory, our perceptions of reality, is not essential for them all to be hyper accurate. It's only essential for them to keep us alive, you know, and a lot of times that's a, you know, hit and miss kind of thing. You know, sometimes we might, you know, stay alive for a reason that we don't even realize we are, you know, people during in the ancient times and even into the modern times, when a pandemic would hit or, you know, a mass plague, they would have some of the most ridiculous things because they thought they would see a pattern. If we drink our own urine, it's going to help with the black plague. I'm pretty sure I saw a pattern of that, so let's give it a shot. We have to be careful. And we also have to remember, and we're talking about the broader sense of patterns and kind of just the essential fact that correlation does not equal causation.
Thank you. Yeah, perfect. You know, Santana has written a question, would patterns run in the family too? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two considerations. And one is DNA memory. And I was just having a conversation with somebody about this the other day. Science can now go back 14 generations to show cellular memory. I know, we know, as metaphysicians, it goes back much further. But that's as far as science can prove at the moment. So if you have certain quirks or idiosyncrasies or, you know, let's say you flip your hand when you're talking, but you never met your grandfather, he did the same thing. That's a kind of DNA memory imprint. But conditioning, we pattern ourselves in our view of the world by how we're raised and the environment that we're in. And so everything from that very early life, we begin to, oh, this is our reality. And you take on the patterns of that reality.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully when you're to the age of reason and you can start to say, I'm more self-determining, you can break some of those patterns. And, you know, one of the first patterns I had to break, honestly, was eating patterns. You know, I came from that roast beef and potatoes kind of thing. And, you know, I had to learn more about different kinds of eating programs and diets. So, you know, it's how we're raised. And,
Absolutely. And
Ione says in there, nature versus nurture, you know.
Both. That's always nature and nurture. You know, something came to my mind when you said our DNA memory can go back 14 generations. I think it's interesting to point out, if we were to go back 14 generations, we have 32,767, not quite sure how we have an odd number in there, but 32,767 people that went into our creation, into our DNA. Those are our ancestors if we go back 14 generations. So it's kind of like our experiences, well, let me start with this. Just talking about this real quick, I know it's a little bit of an aside. I do think a lot about the evolutionary track of how we are kind of how we develop, how we evolve, how we kind of change over time. I think that our awareness kind of goes into that. I think that the environment that we're in goes into that. We've been able to prove that where we can see that the health background of the parents kind of can help determine likely age. We know that environmental factors get kind of literally put into the DNA of you know, the next generation. So it's, you know, just to think about 32,000 people that went into us, into our singular being, just 14 generations ago. It's mind-boggling. So just a little aside that came to mind when we were talking about that history and looking for patterns.
It's important. But, so that, but it's absolutely applicable. Laura has asked in the chat, what about number synchronicities, which I think is what kind of inspired this conversation. Like she said, seeing triple ones or triple twos and so on. And I mentioned last week that I started seeing these patterns again. So there's two things I have to look at. Is it, first of all, now that I'm paying more attention to it, or is it some other synchronicity that's trying to get my attention that I'm forced to notice it? And which is the question? I have to analyze myself in this. I went through a period, I've gone through several, but where it's all kinds of repeating patterns everywhere. And it goes on for weeks and months. And I'm saying, what's that about? And I can feel a shift of some kind. Can I put my finger on it? No. There's a website called Angel Numbers. I really like her interpretations of what she thinks that those are. So anybody could look that up. But I didn't see synchronicities in numbers for several months, and I started noticing them again. Now, that being said, since last week, I haven't noticed them. So it just came like a blip. For a couple of weeks, I'm seeing all these 3, 4, 5 or, 10:55, which is like kind of my birthday thing, or 5:55 or, 3:33. And I'm saying, okay, somebody trying to get my attention, because that's my interpretation now. And as soon as I kind of mentioned it, it vanished. I haven't seen or noticed, I have to preface and qualify, I haven't noticed those numbers popping up wherever I go. Now, that's not to say it won't happen again. But I think there's something in the consciousness that we're told to pay attention to or give some kind of notice of, whether we're being downloaded with information or it is that our consciousness has shifted and we're opening our minds to new information and a kind of a download happens. So that's just my take on it, but I got to tell you, honestly, I don't know. I think these things, but I don't know. All I know is that's kind of freaky when it starts going on. I say, oh, pay attention. Something's going on here. You know? So it's, again, watching those patterns.
I think of patterns, I do I know we talked about this last week when we were doing the preamble to this topic, but for me, I see 11:11 a lot. And I don't know that it's every day, but it's pretty frequent. I don't know that I see patterns and numbers out and about where I see, twos pop up all over, but I do work with numbers a lot. And, different, there'll be account numbers, amounts, different things like that. And it is always interesting for me to see patterns in the numbers, like if there's any kind of sequence that is in an account number or that's in a, mathematical formula or amount or something like that comes out from an analysis. It's always just interesting for me to look for that. But, of course, I'm looking for things and I'm associating these things with other things that I know. I love years. If I need to remember a number, I'll break it into years, of the common era calendar. And I'll just think about what happened in that year. So that'll tie me to it. So that's just always been something I did, too. That's how I use numbers to, that's how I find patterns in my life or how I see it. but that's just my experience.
Well, I mean, again, it's how we view it. What's the name? What's that word where when we see something, we attach our view to it? Perio?
I don't know it. I wouldn't know it even if gun to my head. I wouldn't. Like, I've never heard of it.
There's a word like when you see Jesus in your cup.
You mean, kind of thing. You know, truth and faith and like all the good things of God. That's what you're talking about when you see Jesus.
Yeah.
I kid, No. Well, let's. Hey, we're all on computers right now. Let's Google.
Yeah, it's when we interpret our own understanding of things into symbols, and there's
patternicity.
Apophenia?
Nope. That's all I'm coming up with in my search. Pareidolia?
There you go.
All right.
Thank you. It's the pareidolia where we are kind of seeing an image in something that may not be there at all because that's how we relate to it. It reminds me of... I know I've told this story before, but my late friend Emma, she was quite elderly when she passed, but one day I told her, I said, I had this strange experience where this woman in blue, this spirit dressed in blue, came to me, and she goes, oh, you saw the Mother Mary.
Hmm.
And I went, oh, well, it didn't occur to me, you see? But that pareidolia, it's her interpretation that if I would have seen a woman in blue, meant that I was visited by the Sacred Mother Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw it as a woman in blue.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, without the cultural, you know, reference, you wouldn't have made that connection. I mean, did people see, I don't know if toast was being made prior to, you know, the year zero. But did people see, you know, a figure like, what's this bearded dude doing in my toast coming back, you know, or whatever it might have been come 3,000 years ago? It just didn't happen because, and if they did, they would think it would be a god in the pantheon or something like that, right? It would be one of the Greek gods or it'd be Apollo or something like that that you would see. And they, I mean, we're talking about people seeing things and attributing it to the Virgin Mary or something like that. What about the fact that people would look for signs in common life on a daily basis? It was renowned that in the Persian wars between Greece and Persia, both sides would look at the, you know, entrails of a goat and all these different things to try to intuit if the gods were telling it when it was the right time. So it's just interesting how things change over time. But
I know. So I finally found it. Sacred Scribes Angel Numbers is... the site. She's actually changed her website thing, so that's why it took me a minute to find it while we were talking, Michael. So, Sacred Scribes Angel Numbers is this woman named Joanne Walmsley. Angel Numbers, the 1111, or number sequences repeating. So, in short, one resonates with the vibrations and attributes of new beginnings, independence, and individuality. So, I'm going to fast forward here to the angel number tells of. It denotes leadership, independence, new starts, new actions, self-reliance. When it appears repeatedly, it signifies that an energetic gateway has opened up for you, and this will rapidly manifest your thoughts into reality. The message is to choose your thoughts wisely, ensuring that they match your true desires. Do not put your energy into focusing on fears, as you may manifest them into your life. So I have always appreciated this woman's... I like her dialogue, and I like her approach to numbers. There's nothing fear-based in her writing. So I would... just say, you know, check that out. So it's interesting when we can see somebody else's take on it.
You know,
my daughter messaged me the other day. She's working in Ohio right now, and she said, I just saw two hawks and a crane. Well, anytime she sees more than a hawk, it's because I'm thinking of her and I want to hear from her. But she saw the crane. So I looked up the symbology of the crane and, you know, told her that, you know, it's long life and beauty and so on. And so it's just when we notice these things, it means something to us in that moment, you know, because it means what it means to you. So
absolutely.
I like it.
Very well said. I like that take as well.
So I have to catch up, Michael. You put in the chat, anybody wants a card, and I'm catching up here, going through.
Oh,
so
I
we multitask.
I've been tallying some folks. But,
the thing about a live radio program is we have to multitask.
Oh, we do with that. We do with that. I can hear the card shuffling, but by no means am I trying to rush the discussion, although, you know, we're kind of coming up to that time, but we always have some flexibility. But, you know, I just think about patterns and numbers are just such a fascinating avenue. You can go so many directions with them.
Yeah.
A couple of thoughts that I had on this topic before we move on is how essential patterns have been for humanity. Well, let me rephrase. How essential the ability to see patterns has been for humanity to survive and thrive and become dominant. It is one of our greatest skills, is our ability to find patterns. And also, I think about the numeric aspect, and what does that mean for existence? The fact that, I mean, we didn't even get into things like sacred geometry and things like that, although we did touch on that concept.
Fibonacci sequence.
Exactly, the Fibonacci sequence, yeah.
Yeah.
It just kind of leads your mind down that reflective trail where, you know, what if it is a simulation? But of course, that's just kicking the can down the road. I mean, if this is a simulation, then who created the people that created the simulation, and on and on and on. But I will say here, I don't think it's a simulation, not in the way that we would think of one as a computer simulation, at least. I think that existence has an inherent mathematical nature. I think mathematics is the code of existence, if one can say that. Although I don't think that we can see it in its entirety to know it, you know, in its full truth, in terms of like numerology, etc. Go ahead.
I'm trying to go back in the chat here about patterns. I think, what is it here? Someone said their shaman teacher said that when you see repeating numbers, it means you're on your true path. And I'm sorry, I'm going back. I'm going back in the chat, and I can't see who said that. But one of the things an elder told me, Ione said it. Sorry, thank you. She said my shaman teacher told me that means I'm on the right path. So deja vus are like that. An elder once told me when you're having a lot of deja vus, it means that you're connected at all levels, meaning your other selves. But you're also on the right path. So what happened before, what happened, you know, what's happening in another place, and you can make a choice of how this will manifest out. So it's like, oh, I have a feeling I've been here before. You know, you're on your right path. So just thought I'd throw that in.
Very good. Very good. I love that. I did not catch that. So good shout out. But all right. Well, this has just been a fantastic and fascinating discussion. I tried to combine those two words at first, but it there's so many different, you know, other avenues that my mind goes to.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is something we can definitely touch on in the future again. But thanks, everybody, for your contributions. Dr. Vicky, thanks for kind of taking the lead. This has been fascinating, great discussion. But is that time of the evening?
And it is.
We're going to look at the patterns of cards. It kind of just all ties in, doesn't it? So for new listeners, go ahead.
Thank you to Wendy for being our card keeper and helping us see the patterns of the cards.
Good point.
Maybe in the next few weeks, Wendy can join us and let us know about the first 6 months, for instance, of 2023. You know, what have we been seeing in patterns?
Ah, that'd be very interesting. Very interesting.
Would be.
And, you know, we have, I'm looking forward to our cards tonight. We have some folks like Jamil that tend to get more pattern, you know, more repeats than usual. But let's see what tonight has in store for new listeners. Well, we have our Inner Oracle cards from the ICMH, the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. that my father, Dr. Kelly, had devised. And Dr. Vicky, you have the tarot cards.
I do. And I think we're starting out with Dr. Ione, aren't we?
We are. And Dr. Ione, for you to get us started, I have number 45, Inspiration and Motivation. Let's see, Inspiration and Motivation. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration, leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Well, with the Six of Clubs, what I want to say is it might be a time for you to be around more people and being inspired by socializing or connecting with people, a busier place. It's something that came to mind is I used to love sitting and having coffee in a little restaurant watching people. And I'd often do writing, or write a poem or write things. And that's what I'm getting for you, Ione. Take advantage when you're in public places to observe and, you know, glean some motivation for yourself. So that's just, you know, just what I'm getting from that. So I hope that makes sense.
I love it. So,
Dr. Zach, or we have Zach next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And love your contributions in chat. I saw your most recent one, Living in the Matrix. I can't necessarily argue with it. But also, shout out for our discussion earlier, seeing, you know, Jesus and different things, grilled cheeses. Loved it. Tonight, I have number 26, Energy Signature. Good card. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Whoa, Zach. Wheel of Fortune is the support card to that. And Zach knows the tarot, so he knows where I'm going with this. But it's like you are impacting people in more ways than you realize. So even when you're feeling a little bit, am I having an impact? Am I doing my thing? Absolutely. Keep taking chances. Stay on your course, your energy signature, and know that you are definitely impacting other people, Zach. And they're looking up to you for what you have to say, what you have to offer. And it's like you're a mentor. And, just keep doing what you're doing. Stay on your pathway because you're necessary. That's what I have to say about that.
Awesome. All right. We have Jamil next. And I have number 44, Attitude and Disposition. Let's see. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, this has to do with relationships, Jamil. The Two of Hearts. Attitude, disposition, Two of Hearts. It's not just what you want for yourself, but it's what you have to offer. So it's kind of looking at that, and I'm seeing two hearts coming together. So building the skills of what it takes to be a partner, and that's what I'm seeing here. So stay open-minded is what I want to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all partners may look, walk, and talk the way we envision somebody for ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I just had to say that for some reason. But, all right, we have Santana next.
All right, Santana, you get our first wild card of the evening, wild card number 3, Blocks. Just back. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
Well, Santana, I want to tell you, with the chariot in support of blocks, is even when you think nothing is happening, something is happening. And it's because the chariot says that you're moving forward. You know, think of somebody driving a team of horses, and one's white and one's black. You know, that's kind of the imagery here in the Rider-Waite deck of, you know, you got the Roman kind of, you know, soldier. He's got the Sphinx white and the Sphinx black. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, it's still like that team is moving forward, and you're kind of in balance of the forces. So we can think things are low energy, not happening, but the universe doesn't see it that way. This is a good time for you to regenerate your battery, you know, review things, be insightful, and get ready, because the energy is about to open up where you will feel busy and you say, whoa, where's the time for myself? So, there you go.
Good message. I think we can all relate a little bit. Mm. All right. I have, where was I? Oh,
Jeff.
Dr. Jeff. Yep. Yeah. I have number 23. Meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, I got the Queen of Diamonds, Jeff. I think you kind of know where I'm going with this. The woman in your life, you know, gives you a new sense of meaning and purpose. And maybe it's, let's say before you two met, you might have had a certain imagery. The two of you get together and the imagery changes. So it gives that sense of purpose and inspiration, and it's a really good balance there. So I'm totally in support of this, even though some days you say, yikes, what are we doing now? well, wait a minute, I haven't had time to digest this information.
Yeah, really.
Where are we going? And and yet it's that wonderful uplifting energy and that creative energy, and you'll know when to pull things in and when to move forward. But when two people get together to forge a life and they're a good team, it's two energies meld into one and our view of life changes. So that's what I want to say to you. The view of life now is kind of a collective, not a singular. And we adapt to that. And I feel like things are moving forward and you kind of want to slow it down, or you might want to speed it up when she wants to slow it down. So it's just like that meeting of minds and knowing what's comfortable. But there certainly is a sense of meaning and purpose here.
All right.
I love it.
All right.
Ronaldo.
All right. For Ronaldo, I have number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life. No matter how seemingly small or insignificant, the truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Oh, Ronaldo, I got the star. The star in support of gratitude. You know, I guess what I want to, what comes to mind is my heart kind of skips a beat where you've been wondering what the last year or two or three has been about, kind of saying, huh, you know, but then looking at the flip side and feeling gratitude. And the star is that it's the water, it's the flow of life and, you know, what guides you through it. And I want I feel inclined to want to say encouraging words to you, Rinaldo, that you made it. And you've made it this far. Whatever comes your way, you have the skills to deal with that, but it's dealing with things in a new way and coming from that really good place instead of the other place. I want to say I feel like you've separated yourself from the negative, and that's awesome.
I love that. Great message. All right, and we have Dr. Kevin next. I have number 22, think for yourself. Let's see. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Justice, Kevin. Fairness, equitability. You know, when we're trying to navigate this world, everybody has an opinion, right? And whether it's in close relationships, work relationships, or just going to the store. And it's so that thinking for yourself and that justice card is fairness, equitability, fair, like the value for value. What are you getting out of it as well as what are you giving? So when it comes to your inner circle, maybe looking at it from a different perspective. And I don't know, I'm just inclined, the 9 principles of belief, so that you're gathering your spirits to not be inclined to go along with the flow just because it's a safe or comfortable way. And again, that's not a criticism. It's just kind of an observation that we all do it. We all kind of bend ourselves just to get along. But what's in it for us? So in the inner circle, that might be a work-related thing too, Kevin. So, you know, I hope it makes sense in some way. Right. So we have Wendy next.
We do, Cardkeeper herself. And
we do.
Thanks so much for what you do. I'm seeing that we have a lot of new cards for the evening. And I think that's interesting in and of itself.
Yeah.
But Wendy, for you tonight, I have, let's see, number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
I got the 9 of Hearts. 9 of Cups in support of open-mindedness. It's that abundance, replenishment. You're on a learning curve. You keep doing what you're doing, Wendy, and there's a certain abundance that starts to come. You know when your heart just fills up, like you know you're on the right path. You know you're in a good place. Are there challenges? Sure. It's, you know, people, work, stuff, you know. But you're in a good place, and it's kind of like everything is serving your desire at the moment. So I got nothing but good things and an affirmation for you, Wendy. So Wendy's also mentioning in the chat she won't be with us next Wednesday because we're jealous. She'll be in New Orleans at the Cure concert for her birthday. So we'll miss your birthday, but early birthday wishes to you, Wendy.
I am jealous, so I'm tempted not to wish you a happy birthday, but happy birthday. I hope you have a great time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think the last name we have up here for this evening is Andrew. Welcome, Andrew.
Well, we do have Andrew, but before Andrew, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tabitha threw her name in.
Oh, see? I missed it. It was going so fast, so let's put Tabitha in here.
All right. Tabitha, for you, I pulled number 28, one of our most important cards, Do No Harm, Do Right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Well, I got the Eight of Hearts. I like the Eight of Hearts, but I'm that kind of girl. So it kind of means, you know, walking in the dark, using your intuition only. And curiosity always gets the better of me because I say, I have no idea what this day is going to bring. But that do no harm, do right. What I tend to think here, Tabitha, is when we encounter new situations or, you know, new endeavors or things that we can tend to be anxious or have a little anxiety, and you just have to trust yourself. So if there's things that you're kind of encountering right now, just know who you are and you've got this. So that's the affirmation here is trust your instincts, trust your intuition today, and know that you're okay. So I think that do no harm, do right, it just comes with, I think there's a little Karen in all of us, right? And thankfully there's no Karens in our chat room. If anybody's listening, I apologize. Mm-hmm. No offense.
I'm probably just the biggest Karen in the chat room right now. But
it's, you know, we get a little frustrated and we want to say something. It's just temper it down. Just know that you've got this. And you may not understand it all today, but that's okay. You don't have to. You can just roll with it and see what kind of days tomorrow's going to bring.
I like it.
All right. Yeah, I do. But not everybody likes the unknown, Michael.
I'm telling you, but the unknown is exciting. It's terrifying, but it's exciting too. If we didn't have challenges like the unknown, what would be the thrill of life? But I digress. All right, Andrew, nice to see you. I think you're a new name for us tonight. And for you, I pulled number 17, Reinvention.
Hmm.
Just had it open to that, and I dropped the book. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, I got the Ace of Hearts, Andrew, in support of that. Now, the Ace of Hearts is about fulfillment, living from the heart. Success through just doing you in this way, but with the reinvention part, is you're on a learning curve and staying grounded. That, you know, it's Dr. Kelly's big thing. It's always stay grounded. Mm-hmm. That's grounded to me is also where your heart is. And heart does not imply foo foo, oh, love conquers all stuff. Being grounded and from the heart means that spiritual sense of yourself, in my view. So just know that you have everything you need, like that foundation of yourself, as you're going through certain changes. So changing your mind, changing your outlook, changing your beliefs, you know, changing things. That's all part of that reinvention. And I think you're on a roll. You're certainly on to something here, Andrew. But do what's right for you. And go slow if you need to, speed it up if you need to, and just go at your own pace.
I like that.
Yeah.
Good message.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool. I really appreciate the feedback in the chat room. Thanks, everybody. It appears what I'm Wendy is saying a lot of new, fresh cards for people mm-hmm. tonight. Yeah. And go ahead.
And Tabitha had noted that she's gotten the Do No Harm, Do Right card a lot. Wendy doesn't have it on her list, but I wonder if that's because Wendy is tracking from the beginning of the year. This might have been more common last year. I don't know, but that might be a reason. But it is interesting. So I think if that is true, Tabitha, you're our first repeat of the night. A lot of new paths tonight. And I also, I was thinking about that phrase, love conquers all. Yeah, well, love conquers some. You But it's not going to conquer the
asteroid. Yeah, but how do you define love? How does love act in your world, you know?
True.
I mean, everybody thinks they have a corner on love. It's like, you know, like both teams on the football field are playing to their Jesus, and, you know, who's mm-hmm. just the right one going to win today? So it's, in my view, love is a spiritual experience that's deeper than, you know, how we humans translate that. Love does not conquer all. We decide how love acts.
Mm-hmm.
We decide that. We choose how love is going to behave. You can't call yourself a religious individual and have judgment over others, you know, and say that that's love. It's
right.
just not.
And it's, so, and the phrase, you know, I don't judge the person, I judge the action. Such a cop-out. Such a cop-out. Oh, man.
Oh, and let's forget about the past. It doesn't mean anything, so you can go and be, you know, difficult again tomorrow mm-hmm. and, you know, repent your sins on Sunday. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's how does love behave? And that's actually a good topic for next week.
Yeah.
How does love behave in your world?
See, this is why the brain's the operation.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic, fantastic topic. Say that one more time for me.
How does love behave in your world?
Love it.
How does love behave?
All
right. You decide that. Because sometimes we have to have tough love, you know?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So it is, it's a deal. We're going to have that topic next week. Looking forward to it. And it's come to that time of the evening.
It's like we scripted this, Michael.
It's like
we just managed it. I know it sounds like we're reading from a script. Oh, and next week's topic is, well, listen, everybody, don't miss out this Saturday. Please mm-hmm. check on the website. You know where to go.
Absolutely.
And
check your email. You'll have a link in there too. And
you
can always go to you'll check the link in your email. And remember, it's going to be this Saturday. That's going to be May 6th. And it's going to be 5 o'clock Eastern Time in the United States. That is 9 p.m. UTC, Universal Coordinated Time. But so looking forward to anybody that can join us. Looking forward to our graduates and people that would like to show up to show their support.
Yes.
Looking forward to that event.
Well, you know, I've been with the school. This will be my 12th year, I think, Michael, for the graduation. So a long time.
Yeah.
Like, where did it go?
Decade there. It's all good.
I know. I wouldn't miss it for the world. So we'll see y'all on Saturday.
We'll see you then. And thank you for joining us tonight. Just remember to keep looking for those patterns in life. They're very, you know, they're interesting. What are they going to reveal? And they'll also reveal about what we're looking for. So,
I got to interrupt. Dr. Aaron's birthday was last Monday. Just this past Monday. She just said it in the chat. Happy birthday, Aaron. So,
happy birthday.
Man, I'm a big one for birthdays, Michael. I love birthdays. That's your special day. So
it's true. And I love it, too, but I forget them all the time. Thank God for Facebook.
We're good. We'll see you all next week.
We'll see you next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.